Hi guys, welcome back to Rooted Reflections with your host. I'm Anna.
I'm Hannah.
And last week I got to share my testimony, and we're gonna switch it to Hannah. And yeah, so what was it like growing up in a Christian home?
So I always felt like growing up, my parents, I know they say that like nobody's perfect, but I always felt like growing up, my parents were like the perfect parents. I felt like my parents were they weren't super strict, but they weren't super lenient either. I do remember growing up, my parents always said, it's the tree that bends that doesn't break. And anytime they were referencing like why they weren't super strict. And so I felt like growing up, it was very structured. Very structured, very like I always knew what to expect, which I felt like was good. Because if I wavered off path, I knew what was coming for me. But also I felt like the positive reinforcement was there for sure. So I felt like I was the kind of kid that always wanted to please my parents. And I do think personality does play a role into it, because my brother and he was a lot different than me, but I feel like either way, even though we were so different, I felt like for the most part across the board, like it was the same setup for both of us. So I would say that was really good growing up. Like I have no complaints really.
Well, yeah, you don't want a parent that's too lenient and they let their kid do whatever they want. So,
Yeah, I definitely was not allowed to do whatever I wanted.
do you feel like being raised in a godly home made you f have like your faith stronger, or did it make you like wrestle with things in a different way?
I would say, so I grew up, like I said, as soon as I was born, like in the church immediately. So I will say that I was very blessed and privileged to have grown up in, a Christian school. We were super involved in church. So there was never any time that I felt like I was without resource, I guess, which I think was amazing, because the church that we grew up in was very, very good, doctrinally sound. The Christian school that I went to was also very good. And so I felt like in those aspects, like it definitely like shaped my faith for sure. But because of it, I feel like it posed other questions. I don't want to call them issues, because I don't think that they're issues, but challenges, I guess, is the right word.
So, when you did go to the Christian school, did you like, because obviously you're young and you're learning things as you go, like, did you believe what they were saying, like right
Oh yeah,
away?
totally. I will also say, with my background, everything that I was learning, my parents were modeling.
That's good.
So there was no inconsistency at all. Like it wasn't like I was going to church and Christian schools and then my parents were acting differently at home. There was never any of that. So I think that's where I was incredibly privileged in that area, like and blessed. But so yeah, I would say that when I was at school, I went to a Christian school until like 7th grade, and then I was homeschooled for a few years, and then I ended up graduating from a different Christian school my senior year. So I definitely feel like my mom always words it like I was in a bubble, but I don't feel like I was like ignorant to the outside world or anything. I felt like I was incredibly protected in the best way. That's why, I mean, growing up the way that I did, I wouldn't change it for anything. But I know of several others who have grown up similar to me that have had like the similar challenges come up, like for them.
I've heard a lot of people say like they're almost like angry towards their parents sending them to a Christian school, and like, you know, it feels like it's being forced down their throats. Did you feel like that was the case with you? Did you ever feel that way?
I never felt it was being forced down my throat. What I remember is, honestly, I didn't really feel any kind of way about it. Like, I don't, now I sit here and I say I was very blessed and privileged to go there. I remember when it was happening, when I was going, it just was my life. I didn't have any feelings about it. I just was like, I'm
It's
going to
normal.
Christian school. And I want to say that I think it was because my parents so it was so wrapped around me at every angle, but not in an unhealthy way. And I feel like because my parents, I feel like my parents' priority overall, no matter what, was understanding. Like, they wanted me to understand why this was the way it is. You know, why do we go to a Christian school? So I was always given, I was never withheld any reasoning for why they made any decision that they made.
Yeah, they talked to you about it, and
Yeah, and I think
yeah.
that made all the difference. So no, I never like resented them or felt like it was being forced down my throat. If anything, I think the complete opposite end. I think I was always reaping and seeing the benefits of this way of life.
Well, yeah, and if your parents were like reflecting that, it'd be different if your parents weren't, and then they force you to go to a school, and you're like, you go home and you see them act a different way, and you're like, your guys aren't even reflecting. So.
Yeah, and I think another thing too is that my parents were never judgmental about how other people were raised. So other kids that were around me that weren't my family members, I remember my mom being like, "Well, you're my kid, so I'm not responsible for them. So whatever they do, like that's on their parents. You know, if something ever came out, you know, why can't I do this or that?" You know, so like I said, it was never information was never withheld from me.
Yeah, that's good.
And so I do think that that made the difference. But my mom just always was like, you know, we're standing before God someday for how we raised you.
Ooh.
And, you know, so she's like, you can feel how you want to feel about it, but it doesn't change my answer. And I will say, going back to what I said at the beginning, is I always knew where my parents stood with literally any issue. So there were times where, you know, stuff would come up, hangouts would happen, and I'm like, I'm not even bothering asking.
We're just not gonna go down that road.
Yeah, it's like I already know what they're going to say, you know. And like I said, they never wavered, which is another thing that I think was good. It was never, well, sometimes they, you know, believed this way, and sometimes it was like it was for literally my entire life to this day.
Right. They weren't wishy-washy.
Never, ever, ever wishy-washy, I'll tell you that.
So when did your parents' faith also become your faith?
So I feel like I always had a good relationship with my parents. So I know a lot of people my age now that grew up in this similar type of household have, you know, it's a common to hear, well, it was my parents' faith, but it wasn't mine. Like, I didn't make it my own. And I remember from a young age, my mom really showing me that my faith was my own journey, like, and it wasn't theirs. And normally that conversation came up in small ways, like, you know, you're going to have different gifts than me. You're going to have different gifts than your brother. Ironically, the biggest thing I think that would come up when I was growing up was I felt like I had a lot of accomplishments. Again, I was very blessed and privileged to do any sport or activity or music thing that I anything that I wanted to do. It was never withheld from me in that way. So I would say it came up with my brother. I remember this conversation happening in my adult life and as a kid. I remember my brother getting compliments from my parents all the time about who he is. Like, you know, he'd give the shirt off his back if anyone needed anything. And it's all true, right? Like, all of the characteristics that they admired vocally and positively reinforced were all true. And, but I remember being like, well, I feel like a lot of my compliments that I'm getting from people and from my parents, I felt like they were accomplishment based. So, you know, I always had good grades. My brother didn't really get good grades and he didn't really care to. But, you know, it was like, your grades are so great. You know, you're a great soccer player. Like, you're so athletic. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of what else. But in it, you're an amazing musician.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could listen to you play music all day. You know, and I think all of those are great, great compliments.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that being, I don't want to say like an issue, but I remember the question arising in my mind of like, is there more to me than what I'm doing? Because it's not like I'm getting compliments about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the conversations were able to be molded by my parents when that kind of stuff came up, of more along the like, who am I kind of thing. And, you mm-hmm. know, them explaining to me that I was made for more. And obviously we don't have to get into my birth story today because that's going to take too much time for sure. But from being born, my mom has always been like, you're here for a purpose. And I feel like she always reinforced
mm-hmm.
that I needed to have my own faith. And she never made us make our faith hers.
Mm-hmm.
Same with my dad, you know. So, no. Sorry, that was a long answer to your question. But I never felt like my faith was my parents. Ever. Or that it was, or that they were trying to make it that way at all. I think that my parents were always very much like, you know, one day you're going to be an adult. What's it going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are you going to, obviously you need to live for Christ, but what does that look like for you?
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember it in the context of my brother, because my brother and I are complete opposite people. So, you know, we don't really have the same interests of anything. We didn't even have the same abilities. Like, I feel like every area that I had skill in, Johnny was not as skilled in. And any area that Johnny was skilled in, I most definitely was not skilled in. So I remember like just the differences in us being a conversation, and my mom being like, okay, but what does this look like?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you guys are adults and you guys have your own families and, you know.
Yeah. So you've seen your parents grow up and have this faith of like Jesus is real and stuff like that. When did that happen for you? Like, when did you think on your own, like, oh, Jesus is real? Like, how did that start for you?
Do you mean, like, salvation-wise?
Yeah.
So, salvation-wise, I remember in first grade, my teacher, Mrs. Hinkle, shout out, she, like, every day before lunch would ask, during prayer, to, like, raise your hand if you were, you either needed to get saved and, or if you just needed to talk or whatever. And mm-hmm. I remember raising my hand like every day for a long time. And eventually, well, after lunch is recess. So, you know, I didn't want to miss lunch and recess. So I just didn't go back to her, you know. And I don't think I thought anything more of it after I would raise my hand. I wasn't feeling like, oh, I need to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember her coming up to me and saying, hey, like, I've noticed that your hand's been up for a while. Like, let's talk. And so I remember her pulling me into her classroom during recess. And she highlighted verses in my Bible that I still have.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I always understood the concept of salvation. Like, I understood Jesus dying on the cross, and I was around it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there was anything I needed to learn in that regard. But I remember, this thought did not come in first grade. This thought that I'm expressing now came way later.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I didn't really, I don't want to say that I didn't understand, because I feel like I, like, mentally understood.
Mm.
I would say that I feel like I don't really know. Because I feel like it's not linear. It's not as linear as I would like this example to be. But I prayed the prayer. Like, she told me how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, believe in your heart. Jesus was raised from the dead. They died for your sins. You can't get into heaven without them. I knew all that. And I believed all that. I genuinely did. And but I remember when she told me to pray, I did not pray that specifically. I started praying for my friend, my classmate, who had broken her collarbone. So the only reason that that memory sticks out to me is because, you know, she explained it all to me. And again, I already knew about it. But then she told me to pray. And I started praying for, you know, have a nice day, you know. Like, I did not pray and quote unquote ask Jesus into my heart until she, I don't want to say she like prompted me, but, you know, redirected me. And so that happened. And then when I was in probably middle school sometime. Yeah, I definitely was in middle school. And I remember having this silly, silly dream that had Jesus in it. And it was him coming on a train and like picking everyone, kind of like the Polar Express, low key.
Yeah.
Picking up all the saved people and going to heaven. And I was not on it. And I remember, like, as a joke, I'm like, yo, mom, I just had the weirdest dream. And again, I didn't think anything of it. Like, I wasn't convicted or anything. I was just like, yeah, it was a weird dream. It was like Polar Express. Like, I don't know. And I went to my mom, and she, you know, if you know my mom, she's very sarcastic, snarky, jokey kind of person. And she's like, well, you better take care of that then. Like, was joking. And I'm like, so I went back to my room and I go, okay, like, what do I do with that? Because clearly, like, clearly I know I'm saved, right? And I remember struggling with it. And I remember it was on Pearl Harbor Day. I do remember the date. And so I did it all again. Like, I said the prayer.
Like, and you repented.
So I will say that I said the prayer. And I want to say this. For people that I know that have grown up in this way, and for me, I was an incredibly obedient kid. I was, I mean, I'm not going to say I never disobeyed, but I would say, like, for the most part, I mean, my parents always say that I was literally, like, a perfect kid. Like, I never wanted to displease anybody. So I felt like the concept of repentance, I always understood it. For me, I remember going, but what does this look like for me? Because, sure, you know, it's so much, I don't want to say it's so much easier, because, like, I know with your testimony, I'm sure, like, if you could go back knowing what you know now, you wouldn't do any of those sins that you did. But it's like, on my angle, I didn't have anything like that. So other than minor sins, like maybe I lied and maybe I gossiped and maybe I, you know, had a bad attitude about something, I struggled with the concept of repentance, because what am I, in my mind, in my like 12-year-old, 13-year-old mind, I'm like, what am I repenting from? You know, like, I didn't have this mass change of heart. Like, I was already being obedient before the salvation. And I feel like that always confused me. And I understood all these concepts and I believed all of these concepts. So it wasn't like I was being a fake believer, you know. But as far as, like, when people ask the question, when did you get saved? I never know how to answer that because I don't know. Like, I was being obedient to the Lord and to my parents my entire life, I felt like. So did I have faith before that? Like, would I have been obedient to the Lord had I not had faith? I don't know. So I always say first grade slash I remember having, you know, these thoughts come up when I was in middle school.
But when you had the dream.
I want to bring awareness to the fact that when you grow up like this, and again, I wouldn't trade it for anything, and it's the right way to live. I remember just having, like, confusion, I guess, on, yeah, I need to repent. Yeah, I know I need to repent. Like, I know I'm a sinner.
Right.
But, like, what do you do when you're 13 and you haven't, you know, I don't know. I mean, yeah, like I said, you do minute sins, which all keep you out of heaven. Right. So, big or small.
Right.
But I think that because of that, I struggle with my assurance for, like, the rest of time. Because I never had any moments where I was like, I'm not saying I never did anything bad, because that does not, that's not what I'm trying to say. But I felt like the gravity of the things that I had done weren't big enough for me to have like an emotional reaction, I guess. So I would say, like, yes, I knew that I needed to repent of my sins. So yes, I said everything, like, you know, I wanna go to heaven when I die, and I don't want to be left behind, and, you know, me not be able to be there with you in heaven. And, you know, I do believe that you died and rose again. So I said the prayer, and I'm pretty sure that I meant it at the time, because obviously I was afraid. Like, I was afraid that I wouldn't make it. And I would say from then on, I'm just an anxious person anyway, so mm-hmm. anyone who knows me knows that. But I always remember going, did I do it right? Mm. Did I say it right? Mm. Did I, okay, well, when I said it, did I mean it when I said it? So I would say it again. Mm. And this rumination would happen all the time. Like, well into adulthood, you know, I'm not going to act like I never have those thoughts still. Because mm-hmm. I feel like I'm just an anxious type of person. And I think Satan knows that. And he's just mm-hmm. tries to get you confused. Mm-hmm. And so I would say for the most of, like, where my struggles and challenges came from as a Christian, and I would say, like, outside of the faith, it's just that rumination of, did I do this right? Did you mean it when you said it? And then I cannot tell you, Anna, how many times I probably said this prayer.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people struggle with that, especially if it wasn't like a certain moment that you did it. You know, you're like, oh, did I do it right? And I think that it's not about what we do right. I think it's about what he did. And are we going to accept what he did? And are we just going to move forward and, like, I'm living for you. It's it. Like, Satan can't lie to me no longer.
It wasn't until I was in high school that I started thinking more on Romans 10, 9, and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Mm-hmm. And I remember that eased some of it for me, because that one felt more of like, I don't want to say a checklist because that sounds really bad, but it's like, okay, I know I did that. I know I did that. And I've confessed with my mouth, and I live as such. So, like, all of that eased the, are you really saved? Mm. Question, you know. And then I remember talking to my grandma about it, and I remember her being like, if you weren't saved, or if you really weren't saved, you would not care. Mm. And so I'd say, like, scripture wise honestly, I think Romans 10, 9, and 10 helped me the most with that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I always knew the other things, like, you know, faith without works is dead, and then it's, you know, it's by grace you're saved through mm-hmm. faith, through faith. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the question that I've been, not, I don't want to say wrestling with, but the question that I've been motivated to live out is, faith is a choice.
Mm-hmm. 100%, and not just a feeling.
Yeah.
You know, even the devil believes in Satan, I mean, in Jesus. But I think we also have to realize he is not, for one, he's not repentful, and he's very prideful. He's mm-hmm. he has a haughty spirit. He believes in God, obviously, because he knows him. Mm-hmm. But there's no heart change, and there was no, yeah, he was just prideful and wicked. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the important part of salvation, is the repenting part and not being prideful, because you don't need a God. If you got it all down, and you don't need him, mm-hmm. but you need God. If you're like, I'm going to hell, and I yeah. need you. I need you to apply these, your blood to my sins, or else I'm not making it.
Right. Yeah. And I know, so I'll read Galatians 2:16, cause I like this verse, but knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, mm-hmm. but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And, you know, I never believed that, yeah, I would have good works and that would get me into heaven. Like, because I know earlier I mentioned I was obedient. I was being obedient to the Lord even beforehand. But I think where I went wrong in my mindset about it was honestly until my cousin Josh was explaining to me a little bit more about Old Testament faith.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even within their sacrifice, like, it wasn't the sacrifice that that did anything. Like, that was obedience, but they still had to have faith. And and so when I was wrestling with, okay, what is tangibly, what does it look like? What does faith look like, though, mm-hmm. in comparison to belief? And really just boiled down to the simple answer, which is how it always is. I feel like as humans, we complicate everything. Mm-hmm. I know I do. But, like, it was literally nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when I was struggling with my assurance, it was, I was still making it about me. And, like, did I say it right? Did mm-hmm. I mean it when I said it? Which I think still are good questions to reflect on. But right. I still think every single time that I was in that moment, I was still referencing myself, and I was not referencing Christ took my sin, and they are separated as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
And Amen. He chooses not to remember them. And I have faith that, obviously, I believed that Jesus died for my sins, rose again. But it's funny how all of my years of struggling with this, it wasn't until, like, the last couple years that I was content with just going, well, Jesus did it all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do it.
Right.
And even if I said it wrong, you know, even if I prayed and I, you know, I don't know, messed it up, or
mm-hmm.
I was distracted and, like, maybe I forgot a part, you know, it's not about the words that you're saying. And I know we talked about the thief on the cross a lot, but I feel like I use the thief on the cross for so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a small part of scripture. But, you know, I'm thinking all he said was, remember me. And I think that's another thing that helped me, was he just looked at Jesus and said, remember me when mm-hmm. you go in your kingdom. And I remember reading that when I was younger and going, well, he didn't say, well, it's not recorded.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, you know, I believe you're God, and take me to heaven when I die. And, you know, like, all of the things that we, I don't want to say are trained to say, because that does not sound right. But because I don't mean by trained, but I just mean, like, I also don't want to say conditioned, but just what we're taught to reflect on when we are praying to have faith. So, and, you know, when you have faith in something like that, you live like it. So I guess another reason that it soothed me
mm-hmm.
was because I continued to live like it,
mm-hmm.
even when I struggled with, did I do it right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had convictions about stuff. Like, that's the reason. I mean, certain people call me lame because I won't partake in certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like, you know, the conviction was always a good sign of, you know, so.
Right. And to have belief, and also, you know, to confess your sins to him, because he is, you know, faithful and just to forgive all of our sins.
Mm-hmm.
That's in a big part too, but I don't know. I feel like if you're also just sorrowful for what you've done, because, you know, he took the lashes and he took on the cross, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, that begs us to, you know, be like, oh my goodness, I did that to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry. I think that, you know, a repentful heart is, and also belief also. And, you know, you have both of those qualities, you know,
mm-hmm.
so there should be security in, like, and not letting Satan run with things and try to convince you that you're not saved and you're going to hell. Like, that's just a lie.
Yeah.
So what would you say to somebody who struggles the same way you did, or what advice could you give them?
So I would say, if it is a person who's grown up in the church and like lived a similar, I would say if they've lived similar to what everything I've described,
mm-hmm.
like similar parents, similar just in general upbringing, I would say don't be afraid to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember thinking, I cannot talk about this because I don't want my parents feeling like they sucked and that they did a bad job with me or that they did something wrong. So I would say definitely talk about it if you're struggling with it. Because there could be, and when you struggle with assurance of salvation, there could be several reasons. Like, is there a certain sin in your life that's not been addressed? You know, so I would say, like, if it's that, start there. You know, I would say reflect on what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
examination of the heart and going, what here is like the barrier?
Right.
And if there is generally nothing, I would say when you're reading in the Word,
mm-hmm.
being content with like what Christ, in focusing on what Christ did and not, did I say this right? Or did I mean it when I, you know, and living that faith out that way and still continuing to be obedient. And I would say even still talking about it, like even if you're an adult.
Right.
I do think it is something that needs awareness more of, like assurance issues in in younger kids that have grown up in the church. As far as maybe struggling with assurance when you didn't really get brought up, honestly, I'd say the same thing for no matter how, like how you grew up. I would say continue being obedient. Like, are you going to church? Are you in a Bible study?
Right.
Are you participating at your church? Or are you just going, sitting in the chair and then leaving? Being a part of your own study of the Bible. And I think that the more that I dug in, so the more that I dug in to the Bible in all of the ways, cultural context, historical context, what I was reading, I stopped caring if I did it right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was finally just enough for me.
Right.
Which is what it should have been that whole time, but.
Right. Wow. Well, you know, I never would have thought of people struggling in that way before we just talked. So I just thought, oh, you grew up in church. So, you know, why are you struggling? I'm out here struggling.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that was such a prevalent thing.
Yeah. And I don't want to say that I obviously would not trade how I grew up. Like, this is the right way.
Right.
Like how my parents did it right.
Yeah.
But I will say I remember as an adult when I had to give my testimony and stuff, I remember envying, I want to say envying, but kind of envying the passion that other people felt. Like, you know, I listened to Elijah tell his testimony and I listened to you tell your testimony. It's like, you guys have had these massive transformations, which are amazing. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have that.
Right.
And I know they always say, make your own testimony. You know, it's your own testimony. Make it your own. Like, I'm like, yeah, but I remember not having that same emotional thing.
Because you didn't have a huge turning point. Of
right. Like, and I think that that's why I struggled a lot with, did I mean what I said? Because I don't feel, you know, and all of those things are valid, but they're still not focused on Christ. Like, they're still focused on what I did and said.
Right.
And that should not be the focus at all. It's like, regardless of what life I've lived, no matter what, Christ died, was buried, rose again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Period.
Period. And that's it. And I feel like I complicated it too much.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, but like, you know, I don't feel a certain way. Like, I don't, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, you have like all these things that play a role. And it's like, Satan can still use those. And he definitely used them against me to make me question what Christ did. Like, Christ already did it. So he's not going to do it. He's not going to die for my sin. Like, he already did it. So it's already done.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like, never let it just be that. I never had let it just be, it is finished.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, but did I say, like, I just never, I just overcomplicated it, I think, with my thoughts. Instead of just, like, nipping it in the bud and being like, Jesus said this, and that's that.
And that's it.
And that, and it's allowed to just be that, because he's the author. So, yeah. I don't remember what your original question was, but...
No clue. What
but I yeah. So, I remember kind of feeling insecure about my testimony. But I would say, even if someone didn't even have any crazy sins ever, you know, like, the gospel in itself, Christ, what he's done, is still that much more incredible, even if someone did not ever do think of all the worst sins you could think of, you know?
Right.
Like, it's still amazing. Like, it's not the sins that you're doing that make the gospel what it is. What makes the gospel what it is what he did.
Right.
Not, you know, the worst things we could think of, and he redeemed us.
Right. And I think sometimes we think, oh, those are the worst sins. But also those little sins are what separates us from Christ. So the fact that he did it for every sin is amazing.
Right.
You know, he's just not, he doesn't let little things slide.
Right.
Oh, you lied just a little bit. Oh, you can come in. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, he takes
everything seriously.
It's serious. It's his word and he has to stick to it.
Right. And he doesn't go back on it.
100%.
So I think I would say then that's another nugget of wisdom that I would add to struggling with assurance is stop making, like, work. Don't redefine what makes the gospel amazing. And, like, don't be insecure if you feel like your testimony is not as good as somebody else's, because regardless, it's not about you. It's literally not about you at all.
Right.
And the minute you make it about you, it's about you and not him. And so, like, if I would have just been slapped in the face with that at, like, 13 years
I'm
old.
Sorry, we I didn't know.
Yeah, so if you would have known me when I was 13 and you could have slapped me across the face with that, that would have been great. But, yeah, so I would say that that's my testimony in a nutshell.
Beautiful. Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, see you guys. Thanks.